home for Fickle Time. At least for a week.
Forgot about that.
Semi-live from a studio. This is View from the Bleachers. I'm Eric.
I'm Aaron.
How we?
Huh?
How you doing?
Meh.
Yeah, come on.
Turn that down a little bit so you can hear us.
Yeah, I was going to whisper through this just to get through it. Like watching a Vikings or a Packers game this weekend, just trying to get through it. How was your sporting?
Yeah. I mean, I didn't think they were going to win anyway on Sunday, so my expectations were low.
Solid.
So I was like, really, at this point, I just want to see at the end of the year how JJ looks.
That's it.
Can we get the rest of the team just
on board with that?
On board with everything?
On board with just trying to develop.
Well,
we please develop a quarterback this week? I mean, do you want to run through the stats on
this?
No,
we don't need to.
Unfortunately,
I'd rather talk about the Green Bay Packers loss.
I mean, that stat line's not any better.
There
is no good. That's good because we got two losses for our professional teams this week. We had a win by the Badger football team in quite possibly. And if you want to bring up a box score that makes you cringe, bring up the Wisconsin Badgers versus the Washington Huskies over the weekend.
Low scoring game, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was low scoring. The offensive output for both teams was terrible at best. I'll let you scroll through that 13-10 slobber knocker. Barn
stats.
Burner? Do you call him a barn burner because you just want to burn it down at the end of that?
12 first downs.
Yeah. Ouch. Look at the individual numbers from this game. The leading passers for the Badgers. The fact that they won this
Who's
game.
Sean West.
That would be your backup punter.
He had more yards than everybody else.
That backup punter was 1-for-1 for 24 yards on a fake punt.
At least they ran the ball.
They ran the ball not well, right? They ran it.
Got one touchdown.
Yep. Yeah, their starting quarterback, Carter Smith, is a true freshman.
Oh.
He was 3-for-12 for 8 yards. That seems impossible. I did not watch the game. I was listening to it on the radio.
You listened to the whole thing?
I listened. I mean, it was on in the background while I was working.
Oh.
Right? So, it was like I would rather have been at work. Yeah, I could have turned that off and been completely fine. Listening to Badger broadcasters try to...
I mean, the defense had 3.5 sacks
and
one interception.
Nice.
Yeah, so...
And it was all by freshmen. Their defense, because, you know, when you hit that stage in the season where you're 3-6...
And you still have your coach.
And you... and you're still contractually obligated to have the same coach... You got to start doing. That's when those freshmen, you know, like they're second, they're third stringers. Well, we're not winning with our first stringers. Let's go out and see what we got. And so that's what happened this weekend. The defense was filled with freshmen and sophomores. 19 tackles. Their leading tackler had 19 tackles. Another freshman had 2 sacks. Wow, that's an accident. I mean, a win's a win,
I guess.
They
had 3 penalties only with 25 yards. Washington had 8-for-53, so, I mean...
And if you're going to win a game as a lesser-talented team, which unfortunately the Badgers have become to everyone they play, you have to win the turnover battle. You have to win the field position battle. The only reason you're able to do a fake punt that works is because you're at a point in the field where you can do that.
Yeah, right.
So, you know, I refuse to give the head coach any credit for that.
Two out of 14 for third down efficiency.
Yeah. For the Badger, for the win?
Yeah.
And that's in a win.
That's horrible.
You would assume that it was 37-10 Washington with a stat line like that. You look at Washington stats, they're not any better. I'm going to give this credit to this victory to the Wisconsin Badger fans.
Yeah. Was it at home?
It was at home.
No.
The weather was, you know, mucky. The weather was Big Ten-y.
Right.
And Washington was ill-prepared. Washington, you know, has had NFL talent on its roster for a couple of years now.
Sure.
They came from the Pac-10, and they've been in the Big Ten now a couple years. Michael Penix was really good. They've had tons of wide receiver talent.
Michael
Penix
has been okay.
He's been a pro. He's been a first round. He's been a first. He's been a first round pick. You're right. He's been a first round pick. So you know, I'm not gonna get. Up and excited about my Wisconsin Badgers. No, you're playing Indiana is the best team in football. I mean,
they're number two right now.
Yeah, behind probably Ohio State, I would assume. And who, of course, Wisconsin lost to 34-0. I don't think this game should be any closer.
Especially if you're starting freshman.
You know, you're starting freshman, and it's not like the pros were.
Who's that coach?
It's Jim Leonard, right? Is it still Jim Leonard as their head coach? No, did they miss that boat?
Yep.
Ugh. Duh. Oofta. Oofta is correct. Is how we phrase
feed
that.
Feed a name.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. It's a...
By the way...
And it's not like college where a loss equals a win because they, like, move up in the draft order or something.
Yeah,
no, a loss is just a loss that costs your university millions of dollars and recruiting and TV time and all
and
that other
gonna
stuff.
And they're going to keep their head coach.
And next year, it's the same dude. Yeah. I mean, I want... Like, I want this story to have another twist. Kind of like Wisconsin when they had Jim Leonard and then the twist was, we got Fickell. I'm hoping this twist is Fickell staying, but, like, the twist is he's not. He's going to resign at the end of the year. Going to go to, like, Central Michigan or something.
As a recruit, as a person going, I don't want to go there.
And, you know, behind
the
scenes.
You're going to miss a lot of that stuff.
I don't know if their pay structure, it sounds so strange to say, but for their in college sports, Wisconsin's football pay structure is not good enough. They do well in nearly every other sport. They're great in basketball. Greg Gard is their coach, and he's fantastic.
Well, you just said that.
He's a real top flight coach in the Big Ten and in the country, knows how to recruit. Knows how to put a system together,
right.
But the boosters of the basketball program seem to know who to pay. They knew who to bring in as a transfer from some university. They know how to do it. The Wisconsin Badger hockey program is elite, both men's and women's.
As it should be.
But why shouldn't their football team also be elite?
It used to be.
Because it used to be. Their basketball team has never, in my call it lifetime, never not been good. Consistently above grade.
I mean, I don't really remember the football team not being decent and
before good. Barry Alvarez showed up, they were Indiana. They were essentially what Indiana was a couple of years ago. They were terrible. They were not winning games. And they've circled all the way back because the women's volleyball team won a national championship. Softball, they're great. All these track and field, academics. You've been to Madison. Nice place to hang out for a couple of years and go to school. You know, it's a good town. But their football team is the only is the moneymaker in your university. When you're a Big Ten Division I school in the middle of the Midwest, your football team needs to succeed for your university to make money.
Sure.
They're losing money and it is the recruits too, because the coach might be there. You know, you might like their offensive coordinator a lot. They've got somebody to show up the last couple of years and play for them. But, no, you're right. The big, high-end, five-star guys are not coming.
At some point, it's going to really catch up.
Yep.
And, you know, I mean, colleges, I mean, even with the transfer portal and the money and everything else, you know, you got to have that foundation.
Yes.
Yep. You know, every 4 years, every 2 years, whatever, you're going to lose people.
Yep.
So you got to plan for that. And if you're not planning for that or you can't get what you need.
Yes. Yeah. They have now.
Because nobody wants to go
there.
They
have general managers now in college sports. You do have guys whose job it is to go out and find the talent to put on the roster. It's not the head coach's job anymore.
Right.
He's not recruiting on the road like it used to be. There's a disconnect there somewhere.
At least for Badgers, but if you're like a Lane Kiffin not LSU anymore.
They fired their coach too. It's the firing season.
You know, but Lane Kiffin, this is a prime example because he's being, I'm sure, swayed.
Yeah.
You know? But so many times, if you're a winning before, you know, Nick Saban left, you know, you would just go to Alabama because you wanted to because you knew that if you went there, you were going to be good.
Yep. You're going to be coached by NFL caliber coaches.
You had a better shot if you played for Alabama to go to the NFL than not.
Correct. Yep.
And up until recently, Wisconsin had that kind of.
If you were a running back, top flight running back in high school, Wisconsin was on your radar for where you would go to college just based on the fact that every great offensive lineman in the country might also go there. They were recruiting. You're right. There's a foundation there that a thing that always works. And somewhere in the last, call it 4 years.
How long has Pickle been there?
Oh, too long. This is his third year.
Third year already.
Yeah, not fourth year quite yet. Nope. And he's coming back again. So, you know, look at the stat line from the people who played in this game, who won. You are not going to be successful with a 3-for-12 starting quarterback. Right. Their quarterbacks were ranked. I was looking through the power rankings for some of the stats. They are ranked second to last in the whole country amongst Division One Power Four starting quarterbacks.
Sure.
You're not going to win games.
I think the other side that's not really being talked about is money.
Yes.
I mean, to buy him out, to fire him, to buy him out, well, if you're not making money.
They say it's $25 million at the end of the year to buy him out. The academic program, I looked at it, they made $400 million last year. That's how you keep your budget alive. Winning games and filling Camp Randall and getting on TV and going to Big Ten championship games puts millions and millions of dollars that are being lost when people just tune out.
Yep.
There's no reason to watch the Badgers.
I think their money's involved a little bit. You have to go, you know, because unlike LSU or any of those other ones that fired their coaches mid-contract, they can. Those are really big-time programs that can afford it.
That's true too. Is the teams we're talking about that paid their buyouts are worth much more money than the Badgers are. As much as $400 million sounds like a lot, my guess is Ohio State, LSU, Alabama,
Penn State
are worth much. I don't know if they're billion-dollar industries at some of these universities, but
it's close, I'm sure.
You know, Texas has their own university. They have their own channel. They have their own, you know, like they have large base fan bases and big wealth, and so you know,
it is what it is.
Go Badgers!
Three more games,
I guess. You know, it's hard to get excited about mediocrity. You know, like it's hard when. In the pros, when your team's bad, you're excited for next year because, ooh, that first-round pick is going to mean something.
Maybe.
Or you're in the playoff hunt, so it means
something. Or your $50 million quarterback might get better next year.
Oh, are we talking about Jordan Love?
We skipped a little bit.
Both of us skipped
over the NFL. A very uncanny characteristic for either one of us.
Yeah, I guess.
But it was a good segue. So
fine.
Packers.
Fine. We'll talk about the Packers.
One of the better defenses in the league.
Yeah. I mean, they showed it, right? They lost.
But how do you hold your opponents to less than 16 points consecutively and not win?
Well, they've lost three games by 3 points, right? They've lost the three games they've lost this year. They're 5-3-1. Were to Cleveland, were to Carolina, and were last week to the Eagles. All of them were three point losses. An ugly offense.
Also, don't forget that Cowboy tie.
And ties are a tie. Yeah,
a tie is a loss.
Yeah. It started out feeling like a win when your team was 5-1-1, right? Yeah. Like, 5-1-1, that's like 6-1, really.
Now they're just ahead of the Vikings in third place.
Just barely. Our teams are now third and fourth place in the best, mark, division in football. The only team with everybody above 500.
For now. Well, not now.
Right. No.
4-5.
Oh yeah, never mind. The Vikings ruined it again. I don't know how to explain the Packers'
inconsistency
any better than any one of us who watched. Like, if you know, if you're listening out there, you might have watched this on Monday night. Jordan Love was 20-for-36 for 176 yards. Not great. Sacked 3 times. Josh Jacobs 21 carries for 74 yards. Pretty pedestrian. Jordan Love, you know, ran the ball okay. He had a scramble that looked neat. Christian Watson, he runs real fast down the field, but apparently he doesn't know where a football. We'll call it the biggest moment of the game for him. On a pattern down the field, Jordan Love threw up one heck of a shot all the way down the field. Christian Watson thought it was going to get picked off, so he essentially tackled the defensive cornerback instead of going for the ball. Not great.
Yeah.
Not a great...
The problem?
Could you please tell me the singular problem?
That's not a singular problem.
I mean, my problem is I'm staring at a stat sheet that involves Bo Melton as a receiver again.
Really? He's still on the team?
Remember, he got converted to cornerback.
Oh, yeah.
And due to all of the injuries this week, yeah, he was your third wide receiver.
Yeah.
That's problematic. Once again, Dontarius Wicks can't catch a ball.
He's missing Tucker Kraft, which hurts.
Yes. You're missing offensive line.
Who's the other one that's on that team that catches?
Jalen Reed.
Yes.
Jalen Reed early in the year was such a consistent mover of the ball. You'd get it to him. He could move it, move the chains. He could come around the end. Makes the motion plays make sense.
But it's boneheaded plays.
It is.
He's just doing dumb stuff. But then he could do great stuff in the same game. He's bipolar.
But
the thing is, for the Packers, is that the second half of the season, he's always great.
Well, we're in the second half of the season so far. Not great.
It's week 12 or 13.
It is, but we're on that back stretch. You know, like you're down the stretch they come, to speak. If you're the Packers and you lose like two more games in a row, the question is are you a playoff team? The question is, are you firing your coach before or after the season?
I don't think they will.
Not during the season.
Your Packers, I don't think you're going to make changes unless they absolutely necessary.
I mean, they had Ray Rhodes for a year and realized it was not good, and they canned him.
That's really bad.
You're right, because they felt like they kept McCarthy for one too many years.
Sure.
It felt like they were moving Holmgren out of the picture as they were working.
Right.
They're going to keep him, but there has to be a change in there because the Matt LaFleur offense looks the same as it did 5 years ago.
But what looks different from what I watched is that Jordan Love looks really not confident, like really hesitant.
Mm-hmm.
Like he's trying not to do weird stuff, but ends up doing weird stuff.
And this is his third year in the offense. Yeah, this is his fifth year with sixth year with the same coach.
By this time, you pretty much...
You can't blame... Kind of like, you know, you couldn't... When Kirk Cousins was your quarterback, you remember old Kurt. You couldn't blame Kirk Cousins for the issues on the field. He was who he was. The offense is designed around Jordan Love, his strengths and weaknesses. If you're his coach... You're not trying to find some new stuff that Jordan can do well by this point. You should be putting a game plan together.
You know exactly what you're doing.
Yeah. And you can't say, well, the offensive line, it's play calling. It feels like you watched highlights of their drive that caught the end of the game.
Yeah.
Scenario for the Packers was about as disastrous as you could go. There was a missed 64-yard field goal. That should have been in a Hail Mary. The play before that, the series before that, you had a fourth down that the Eagles called out. You heard the audio on the field. You saw it in replays. The linebacker pointed to where the play was going to be run on fourth down, the biggest play of the game. The defense knew exactly where it was going to go. There was no hesitation by the Packers. They said snap. The entire Eagles defense was in the backfield before Josh Jacobs took one step forward. That is problematic. That is the kind of thing, the visual of Matt LaFleur on the sideline trying to like figure out a play.
Yeah, right.
Not a great look at this point in the season when you're, not to say he's coaching for his job, because he's...
I don't think he is.
He's got a win-loss record better than nearly every coach in, top flight coach as far as his win-loss record goes.
Except for Nick Sirianni.
Except for. So he's not fireable, but you're kind of in that odd purgatory, like you are with Jordan Love as a contract. This is who we are. You are, as long as you've got Matt LaFleur and Jordan Love teamed up, I don't think your ceiling is 15 wins.
I think what makes it really bad is the whole Micah Parsons thing.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you traded away a bunch of stuff.
Two first-round picks and Kenny Clark.
Kenny Clark was kind of maybe not on, the plateau of his career, but he's still good.
He would be a starter on a team that should still have Super Bowl aspirations. Yeah.
Well, he's not a starter. You know, he's a starter, and he's doing pretty decently, actually.
Functionally well. So, those first-round picks, I mean, you're not paying a first-round pick, so you're saving a little bit of money, but you're paying Micah Parsons more than any other non-quarterback in the league. You're paying Jordan Love nearly more money than any quarterback in the league. You're paying a right tackle more than any right tackle in the league. These things start to add up pretty quickly to this team is exactly who they are.
Do you think Jordan Love is regressing?
Well, I mean,
at this point? Or he's just been what he's been?
I feel like it's kind of an up and down. It's not a, like, kind of like progress is not a straight line, right? Like, this feels like if he's getting better, let's say he's a, I want to say 7 out of 10 right now. I almost said 8 out of 10, but he's not, right? Like, he's a 7 out of 10.
That's a stretch.
He was playing like a 5 this week. Right. There will be a time at some point in this season where we will come back and there's going to be a stat line that says Jordan Love 20 for 36 for 348. You know, like, it's bound to happen.
His highs are really high, but his lows are really low.
Yeah, I don't think he's better than a, if we're going to call him an, I don't think he's better than an 8. If you want to rank, like, I don't, no. I think in our division, I think Caleb Williams has the highest ceiling.
I think he's along the same lines as Brock Purdy.
Yes. No, that's real accurate. I don't, you know, his limitations are what they are. He's not getting better. He, you know, he's not incredibly athletically gifted.
He is who
gifted.
He is, and you just work around it.
Both are in a similar system, too. Where?
What if they played the New York Giants this week after they just fired their head coach?
Yeah, and Jameis Winston's getting the start.
And Jameis Winston's getting, what if you guys lose to that?
But then you can fire a coach. It's we are in a high, when you start, when you
how long
get,
has LaFleur
this is
been there?
I could look it up. It's either 5th or 6th year. And again, he is who he, and his win percentage is fantastic. It's probably still over 700. You had a couple 3 years in a row of 13 wins, you know. He's built up, I feel like, goodwill enough that even if you crash out the rest of the season, miss the playoffs, I think he comes back. Boom, you know, like, well, but does it really help your team? I don't know. There's
2019.
Okay. So yeah, we're in his sixth year. I think in your division now.
I mean, he's
there's real competition in that division.
75-41-1.
That's pretty solid. That is, I mean, aside from a Super Bowl win.
3-5 in the postseason, but.
Yeah. Yeah. that'll continue to be a problem, right? Like that, if you can get to the playoffs this year, because as it sits currently, the Packers went from being the number one seed to being just on the fringe.
Yeah.
The Bears keep winning games, which is something I haven't said since they went to the Super Bowl. 2012 ago. Was that? Yep. That was even farther back than that, dude. They went to the Super Bowl. I think there was a zero in there.
2009.
That was a very long time ago. The Lions will not be an underdog to anybody they play all year. They're coming up against all of these teams.
And then Dan Campbell's now calling plays, or is it, or is it the reverse?
No, Dan Campbell's not the OC. No, he's not playing call.
But he was started. Oh, that's right. He was calling the calls until now.
Yeah.
So I think his OC's legitimately doing it now.
Okay, all right. I got a promotion in season sort of thing. The football season's really, I mean, it's kind of come together. I can tell you who the worst teams are. I feel definitively that I could tell you Packers make the playoffs. They're not going to win a playoff game. That doesn't feel like
I mean, right now as it stands, I don't think the Packers or the Vikings are making the playoffs. Unless either one goes into a hell of a run.
Do we both just kind of slosh around at 8-9, 9-8 for the rest of the year?
Did I say that beginning of the year that if we got 9-8, I'd be like, meh, for a rookie quarterback?
Sure. Meh. Yeah. I mean,
I just want to see JJ progress.
Okay.
That's it. I obviously want to see the play calling get better, defense plays more cohesively, and JJ involves more people.
Well, because
like
at a certain
Justin
point,
Jefferson,
you're hitting a point with JJ McCarthy that you were hitting with Jordan Love in his contract, right? Like Jordan Love was a rookie, didn't play. Second year, didn't play. He's still cheap. He's good. He's now your number two. Like JJ McCarthy's your number two. Well, JJ McCarthy next year will be in his third year of a rookie contract.
Yep.
You got to make some business decisions, just like they did with Jordan Love at that point, where you hopefully have seen enough that you're paying the right guy. Because I think with Jordan Love, they weren't paying the right guy.
Right,
they could have still had Aaron Rodgers right now. Rate and value of how much quarterbacks are paid and draft pick capital and yada yada yada. Aaron Rodgers was telling the truth when he said he wanted to play for 5 more years.
Yeah. Doesn't mean he was good for the last 5 years.
I mean, if you look at the numbers right now for this year, Aaron Rodgers isn't any markably worse than Jordan Love is.
Last two years he was.
And they're getting paid a little bit significantly different. So, you know, so you could make the argument, and I think I just tried to.
I mean, but that was Aaron Rodgers' team.
But with J.J. McCarthy, you're going to be looking at a sample of a year and a half of
I don't count last year.
Right, a year and a half.
Not even.
Half the year this year, all of next year, before you got to decide, is he worth $30 million, $40 million a year? You know.
That's fine. I mean, we got to figure it out. I think they'll figure it out. We'll know by the end of the year what you have.
And you'll be in a position where you can draft a guy.
Everybody has, I mean, because on our team, it's starting to all get healthy again.
Sure.
You know, we're not missing key. I think there's a potential, not this weekend, but the weekend after, or the next weekend, that all the starting O-line will actually be together for the first time.
Which we haven't seen in 2 years, give or take, it seems like,
not
right?
Not this year, for sure. So, yeah. Nice.
Yeah.
Sound effects.
I like it.
Yeah.
Oh,
Better than crying.
Right? So that was Packers. That was Vikings. They're both terrible, but they're both
mediocrity.
Well, I mean, for the Packers, quite honestly, the expectations were not middling around.
People are calling for...
Right,
Jordan Love to be the MVP this year.
Yeah, that was the early buzz. Matt LaFleur, you know, like that was the buzz. Is the Packers are a Super Bowl, not even a dark horse, right?
After, especially after they made that trade with Micah.
Right. So no, they were doing they.
Oh yeah.
So, you're in a bad spot for, unless of course maybe we're wrong and they can go on a nice, they can win five games in a row, right, and sit themselves at 10-3-1, and we can all feel like, oh, they're exactly where they should be. But otherwise, not so much.
Okay.
What else we can talk about? We get to talk about...
You want to talk about anything else in the NFL?
I mean, what else? Anything real news-worthy, or was it just a whole bunch of the NFLs here? There wasn't a big injury. I didn't see Lamar Jackson.
He's all right. They looked good. I mean, he's injured. He didn't practice today, I guess, but he's gonna be fine. Daboll got fired again.
Oh yeah, the Giants fired their coach. That was.
I think they should fire the general manager.
It's always surprising to me when a general manager keeps his job when that general manager hired the coach.
Right.
Because at that point. I mean, that the owner you'd think would be the only guy in line, right? Like, I don't know how structures work in a football team, but if the guy above the GM is the owner.
Yeah, for the most, I think so. Or operations, something like that.
Somebody's got to have the ear. Yeah. Nope, they fired their coach. Well, their coach was terrible, made some egregiously bad decisions in that game that got him fired, right? Like, Jackson Dart, this is the fourth, it was their starting quarterback, first round pick. It's the fourth time in this season that he's been evaluated for a concussion.
Right.
First time he's been had one. In that game, they rolled him out for like the fifth or sixth time, and he got hammered.
But he also doesn't slide.
Coach, if you're coaching a guy who's an aggressive runner and part of your game plan is getting him out of the pocket, and you haven't spent the adequate amount of time teaching him that, then you should be fired because you're not doing your job as a coach. Okay. Also, the way they described it, the way Daboll, the former coach, what?
We got to cut it. We're running too long.
Did we just go way over?
Yeah.
Dude, have a great one. Talk to you soon. Bye.